Let's discuss COVID-19. New Zealand's deploying the Pfizer vaccine, Fiji the AstraZeneca. From us and Australia, the Cook Islands are likely to be receiving the range of our vaccines as well, and they include Johnson & Johnson's one-shot Janssen jab. New information keeps coming forward about the ways these vaccines are working, and we've often heard early news about that from Dr. Gary McLean in London, the New Zealander who's a professor in molecular immunology at London Metropolitan University and a researcher with Imperial College. And Professor Gary McLean is an international authority on coronaviruses. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Nice to talk to you again. In Nature magazine, mixing and matching the vaccines, there's an interesting new study there.
Oh, definitely. Look, I think this kind of approach for COVID is inevitable. It's considering how long we think this pandemic is going to last with all the new variants, et cetera, appearing. And from an immunological point of view, it really is mixing and matching vaccine platforms. It's something we've done experimentally in these model systems really for a long time. You mix a prime and then a boost with something slightly different. That's what we call heterologous prime boost regimen. It tends to improve immune responses, so that's a good thing if it works for COVID as well. So it completely makes sense to do it now.
So your first shot could be Pfizer, your second could be AstraZeneca, or I think the other way around in this case.
Yeah, I think that's the way this first trial has gone out. Most of the trials that have been done so far, they've kept the prime and the boost exactly the same platform of vaccine. But as we know, many countries don't have access to all of the different doses from the different companies all the time, and it might come to a point where we need a third shot in the future. And we may have newer vaccines coming in the pipeline in the future, and they might be produced slightly differently. So, yeah, I think this is the way it's going to go.
I was reading that there could be attenuating responses to the virus-based vaccines like AstraZeneca. So that would be a way of getting around that. The mixing and matching might improve the overall boosting and vaccination.
Yeah, that's true. I think the approach, it's not only having that additive boosting of immunity effect, and when you consider that the AstraZeneca vaccines alone themselves, they always showed a little bit reduced efficacy compared to the messenger RNA, the Pfizer and the Moderna ones. And if that also results in less side effects, and we know those blood clot issues for the adenovirus vectored vaccines, AstraZeneca in particular, that would be really great. So if you're using it less, there's less chance, obviously, of having those adverse reactions.
We've talked about long COVID a lot and the concerning bundle of problems that can accompany it, and more Kiwis have it than were first thought. But there's good news here. Vaccinations can help with long COVID?
In general, yeah. The vaccines, they really do protect against quite severe disease induced by the virus. They do that very well, and less so against the more mild or even the asymptomatic cases that occur. There might even be some benefit on transmission of the virus as well, but it's less well known at this point. So we hope then that would then translate into protection against this long COVID, you know, these long-term effects as a result of the inappropriate immune overreactivity or lingering virus, which seems to occur in some people as well. And that can be felt many, many months after the acute infection. So I think in short, the vaccines can stop the severe disease occurrence. And in some people that can lead to long COVID. But long COVID is somewhat tricky to define. And it may still occur in people even that have very mild early symptoms. So therefore, we do hope the vaccines should prevent this as well. It's going to take time to be completely certain.
Patients were mostly female and white. Does that skew the findings much?
It does somewhat, but we also know that this particular group seems to have a higher propensity for some autoimmunity, which could be a component of long COVID as well. And we'll have to look at a more diverse demographic, I think, though, to be really certain of that particular vaccine effect.
The possibility exists that the vaccine Gary, is actually clearing up the virus itself, that COVID hangs around in the body, not just its effects, longer than we thought?
Yeah, indeed. We continue to be surprised by this virus. Normally, you'd expect an acute respiratory virus not to linger or persist too long. But the fact that this virus does in some people has been well documented. So an effective vaccine that induces immune responses that clear out the virus very well, and that it's there early enough to do this, it's quite logical to explain these improvements. And I think that study you're referring to, Prof. Altman was talking about it. He states, though, it does need some mechanistic proof. We've really got to understand exactly what is important. Is it just neutralizing antibodies? We know they're critical, but there's probably some subsets of specialized T cells as well that are helping to clear out the virus.
He's one of your colleagues, isn't he, at Imperial College London?
Indeed, yeah, he's a very interesting gentleman. He's got a great hairstyle. I really like seeing him. He's very entertaining.
Yeah. There have been reports of severe allergic reactions to the messenger RNA vaccines, although you have stressed before how rare that is. And, for example, last time we talked about how blood clotting risks are exponentially higher from having COVID itself than from having a COVID vaccine. But both the Pfizer and Moderna appear on very rare occasions, 2.5 per million, I was reading, to trigger anaphylaxis. And one case has been reported with the Janssen injection. So do we think people with severe allergies are the ones susceptible?
Yes, some people with those very severe allergic reactions, they could well be allergic to specific components of the vaccines. We know that the vaccines contain a lot of different ingredients, not just the spike of the virus, but a lot of other things in there as well. And some of them are known to be potential allergens. The good thing is, though, that these reactions, they're quite well known about. They're also very manageable as well. And so, for example, the Pfizer vaccine, it's known it contains a substance called polyethylene glycol, or PEG, and that can induce anaphylaxis in, you know, very few people. But the advice here is to know in advance which vaccine you might be offered. Talk to your GP. Get the appropriate vaccine to manage your, you know, potential for a terrible allergic response. But it is very, very rare. And what I've heard is that people tend to wait about 30 minutes after the shot to monitor for this type of effect happening. It's a quick response, or it won't happen at all. So that's the advice.
Speaking of talking to your GP, with pregnant women, how safe are these vaccines? Because official guidelines seem to be differing, and our Ministry of Health says, talk to your doctor.
Yeah, early on in the vaccine rollout, and after all the clinical trials were done, it wasn't recommended that pregnant women received the COVID vaccines, because there hadn't been really any safety studies done. Now, from the point of view in the UK, the advice now is, yes, get the vaccine. It's preferable, though, to have the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. That's because they've been much more widely used during pregnancy in other countries, and they've not caused any safety issues so far. So the advice is, yes, in pregnancy, it's okay to get the messenger RNA vaccines.
Gary, just finally and quickly, Stat News Online's been asking what we've talked about as well, how long the protection provided by any of these vaccines will last, which is engrossing a lot of conversations here. What options are there for finding that out?
Well, the first vaccine results, from the trials, they came out in May 2020. It seems like a long time ago now. But there are a few numbers of results from people for about a year. And the way to monitor this would be to look at virus cases in these people now. They probably haven't had a booster shot for a long time. And exactly what kind of immune levels that they still have after that period of time. And so we could also look at the real rollouts in much larger numbers, but they didn't really start until December 2020. So they're about 6 months in. And what we're hearing, though, now is that boosters are going to be likely in October. That's for the Northern Hemisphere for sure, before this presumed seasonal increase in cases and the new, more transmissible variants are predicted to take hold. So I think the idea is that a year of protective immunity is probably likely, and then boosters from there on.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much again for your company and for elucidating, enlightening us on all of that stuff, Gary.
Professor, well, thank you, Jim. Always fun.
Professor Gary McLean.